Football Thursday. Vic and Nathan. CBD. And your calls, 216-578-0850.
Notorious. As we talk, it down.
You like that?
I like
it. We talk about Sunday's game between the Browns and the Lions. And it's been, of course, a good day to talk with coordinators. This is coordinator day. By that, we mean the defensive coordinator, Ray Horton, the offensive coordinator, North Turner, with the media. Ray spoke with the media this morning. And here's what he had to say about the Browns getting Jabal Sheard back in the lineup.
Jabal was playing very well for us. He's a very smart player. He allows us to do things. And the thing I've been saying the whole season here is depth is critical for our team to play well. And he's one of our better players. So getting him back, get Quentin Groves back, it enables our special teams to play better and our defense to play better.
It's all about the depth. It really is. Because they held up in this last game, but now having him tells you that the players who were in there playing, Nathan, are now give this team even more strength.
No doubt. And listen, Jabal Sheard right now is having an unbelievable season. We talk about the different grading systems, and I'm sure the coaches, you heard Ray Horton talk about him glowingly right there. According to Pro Football Focus, he is right now the number three outside linebacker in the NFL, period. Though that's how Jabal Sheard is playing. That's the grades he's been given. So he's having a phenomenal season. I love what he's doing, his ability to get to the quarterback, his ability to rush, his ability to stop the run. He's been great against the run as well. He's been doing it all. And this is a guy already, you know, 10 quarterback hurries, 2 sacks, playing very, very well. Jabal Sheard, massive to come back because when you get a team like Detroit, you hope to be able to get them in some third and longs. They didn't run the ball very well against Green Bay, which I was actually a little bit surprised by. And the Browns' run defense, we know, even though Buffalo had the 3 rushing touchdowns, they had the 1 long run by Spiller. They did a good job against Fred Jackson.
Jackson
had 50 yards, almost 20 carries. So they did a good job on a per-carry basis against him. If you can get in some third and longs and get back to what we were so excited to see in the preseason, which is, and we've seen it a little bit, Sheard, Kruger, and our boy Barkevious Mingo on the field at the same time, getting after the quarterback, because the Browns are going to be able to put Buster Skrin in some one-on-one situations. There is nobody outside of Calvin Johnson on this team that Buster Skrin cannot cover one-on-one. And the other thing we even kind of overlooked is when they were coming in this season, their top three expected receivers were going to be Calvin Johnson, Nate Burleson, Ryan Broyles. Ryan Broyles has still not been able to play a full game, although Tim Twentyman, who we'll talk to in just a few moments, said that now they've taken the restrictions off of him. But he's still a slot guy who needs outside guys to help him. They've also lost Nate Burleson. Protecting a pizza pie caused him a broken arm, and so he's not playing in this game. This is the type of matchup that the Browns do very well for. The type of teams that are going to give the Browns trouble is a team like Green Bay, a team like Denver. And there aren't, fortunately, not many of them that have 3 great receivers and a great athletic tight end.
That always get a mismatch. That always are multiple mismatches.
Right.
This team shouldn't, I won't say won't, shouldn't get those kinds of mismatches.
Well, that's why we like them so much against Cincinnati. If you have one dominant player and that's it on offense in your pass game, the Browns can handle you because they have one dominant player and a lot of guys playing very, very well. And one dominant player, of course, Joe Hayden, who's locking people down. So it's nice to get Jabal Sheard back. It is nice to have all these weapons. And we talked about Matthew Stafford. Get to him, rattle him, get him throwing from off of his spot, get him throwing the ball off his back foot, making some mistakes. And take advantage of it. I liked it.
And this is what Ray Horton had to say about Stafford and the Detroit team trying to overcome the absence of Megatron in that last game.
Matthew Stafford, I think, is doing a fantastic job this year of distributing the ball. They have 11 players with 20-plus yard plays, big plays, which is remarkable that many guys contribute for them. So are they a different team without Calvin on the field? I think they are. But the way they're distributing the ball, for me to say they won't miss him is absurd. But he's doing such a wonderful job distributing the ball, I think they can really absorb, you know, one guy being out.
I appreciate the honesty there. That's not a political answer. You know, you could, because a lot of other coaches would just say, well, you know, you still got a next man up and you got to, okay, all those bromides. But the fact is that the best receiver in the NFL, the best receiver the NFL maybe
period.
Has ever seen,
yes.
is not going to play or is hurt or something. If he didn't play, then you've got to say it affects you. And the outcome of that Green Bay game spoke to that. That said, you don't sleep on everybody else. And you don't sleep on the fact, too, that Nate Burleson isn't there. But I'll say this much. It will be maddening, galling, troubling if you're looking at this defense and they're playing a team that's missing those key parts, including Johnson, if he's out of there. You basically should say, okay, they're not. That's one way they're not going to beat you. They should not find a way to beat you through the air.
Absolutely not.
No excuse.
No, there is no excuse for it. You're exactly right. And one of the reasons is even if Calvin Johnson plays, you have a guy who can at least contain him. You can't take Calvin Johnson away unless you want to commit everything to doing so. But this is a team that has a guy out there in Joe Haden who can do that. And we've seen Patrick Peterson play great down in Arizona with Ray Horton. And Ray Horton was asked about challenging Joe Haden and comparing him to Patrick Peterson.
Joe is one of the players that we challenge to be better. He's a player that has tremendous potential, and we're trying to get that out of him, and we've challenged him to be that, and I joke with him, to be Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson wants to be great, and we want Joe to be great, and he's accepted the challenge. He understands the inside joke of Patrick wouldn't do that. It's a way to challenge a guy to be better than maybe he even knows he can be.
You know, think about Joe Haden. Think about any prideful athlete having his coach tell him about another player on another team saying, well, he wouldn't do that. Or, you know, that's how he does it when he does it right, and using him as the standard. But it's a good reference. I think Ray knows the buttons he's pushing with Joe Haden.
Well, he certainly does, and I'm sure he's Joe Haden might come back and say, listen, nobody scored on me. I faced some pretty good receivers this year. The only person who scored on Patrick Peterson this year is Calvin Johnson.
Right.
6 catches, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So let me do a little bit better than your boy PP did in this matchup. I'm sure a part of him wants Calvin Johnson to play for that very reason, so that he can lock him down or do a better job than Patrick Peterson did, and say, yeah, you're right, Patrick Peterson wouldn't do that because he couldn't when given the opportunity.
Yeah, great players want to face great players. They want the challenge. How do you measure your greatness if you're not going up against the best? That is really what it is when you're talking. If we're throwing out all these accolades to Haden, and we do routinely on the show, in this town, everywhere else, because they're deserved, saying he's having a Pro Bowl year, saying he's playing out of his mind, I hope he gets the chance to see this guy. I really do. I know from a team win standpoint, it's so much better, and it would be to the Browns' advantage to not have him there and catch a break, just like Clay Matthews looking ahead to Green Bay, not playing, catch a break. But it would be also, there's a part of me that says, take the challenge and win the challenge.
Well, you know, we can also just change the Pro Bowl like we talked about and create a scenario for Calvin Johnson and Joe Haden to go one-on-one in Hawaii, and we won't worry about it. And this weekend, he can go ahead and sit this one out. That's fine with me, too.
I want to see that video. That'll get replayed on YouTube about a zillion times. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, guy who had a pick six last week, he was all over the NFL Sound, which you have. Is that up now at ClevelandBrowns.com?
It is. It's the Sound? Posted on the website is TJ Ward, because NFL Network mic'd him up, and you saw a sampling of that on NFL Network, but we've got the fullest collection of it. Andy Hector, content and production director, is handled that. And by the way, Ray Horton had something to say about T.J. Ward today.
I've been very pleased and very happy to get to know T.J. On a personal level. I scouted him when he came out of Oregon and watched him as he played, but I had no idea what kind of character he had. He's a very smart, instinctive young man, which, you know, you don't know that unless you coach the player. He's allowed me to do some things on the field with bringing him, disguising. He's done everything I had hoped for and beyond. I've been very pleased with his production and his leadership in the classroom and on the field.
I like that. T.J. Ward was a guy that, you know, there were some concerns about coming into the season. Could he stay healthy? Thus far, he has. Could he realize the potential? And he's doing it. I am so impressed with what I've seen from T.J. Ward. Tayshawn Gibson, the back end of that defense, playing very well. And I know they haven't faced the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but I'll tell you what, in today's National Football League, it is not easy to go 3 games without allowing a passing touchdown, and the Browns have done just that.
All right, sticking with this defense, we're going to have a conversation coming up with Paul Kruger, outside linebacker. Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com. Had a chance to sit down with him. And that is next and much more. You're going to hear from Gerard Cherry as well. You're going to hear from Tim Twentyman from the Lions website. All of that is ahead on a Thursday, Football Thursday edition in beautiful Northeast Ohio here in Berea. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, CBD.